All right. How many of the young people, young unmarried, basically, teenage up, either have the Way of Life Encyclopedia or the Believer's Bible Dictionary? Do you have? Don't have. All right. Thank you for that. Got to have your Bible study tools. Got to have them right there beside your Bible when you're reading. Right there, not across the room. And then you got to use them. Just watching these videos, watching the class, these sessions live for you folks, watching the videos for those later, you're not going to learn very much. Not very much. And so I have to take these kind of courses. These are courses. And seriously, and we started out by explaining the student projects that we've spent time designing, figuring out to help the student best understand the various segments, these courses. Read Isaiah 2, write the major lessons. Isaiah 53, Jeremiah 31, 27 through 40. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, major lessons of each passage without looking at the textbook. Major events of Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Zechariah 12 through 14, major lessons. And then, to answer the review questions, which we can provide to you when they're ready. They're not quite ready yet for this segment. But the review questions and go back and find the answers to the review questions that you missed. Then take the test. And then find the answer to every question that you missed. That way you'll get a lot. Just sitting, even in writing notes and things, you won't get very much. And so, Bible courses. Mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. We're looking now at Daniel. Daniel. Greatly beloved of God. Daniel means God my judge. El means is the shortened form of Elohim. El, God. Dani, El, God my judge. He was of the royal seed. He was carried away captive to Babylon as a youth in the reign of Jehoiakim. When Jehoiakim was taken captive, they took Daniel and his friends up to Babylon. We see this in Daniel 1, 1 through 6. We see the historical background, 2 Chronicles 36, 5 through 7. And Daniel became a high official in the Babylonian government and continued all the way into the Persian government. The Persian kingdom remained in a high position until his death, which is very amazing. He was always surrounded by Jew haters, enemies. And yet God kept him in that position. We don't know very much about what he accomplished in that high position, but the Jews had a friend in high places in those days. And he lived at the same time as Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah was prophesying down in Israel and then down in Egypt. Ezekiel was prophesying from Babylon itself, the river Chebar. And Ezekiel was probably carried away captive 8 years after Daniel. And so we have a timeline here. That's the overall context. But we have a timeline to give the historical background. Very important part of understanding the Bible. And this kind of thing takes a little work, but it pays great dividends as to your understanding of the Scriptures as you read that. And you can see what is happening. In 605, Nebuchadnezzar is made king of Babylon. His father Nebuchadnezzar had died. 602, we have the first deportation from Israel. I'm sorry, we have the first deportation from Jerusalem to Babylon. There were three deportations altogether, but the first one was in 602, and that's when Jehoiakim was put in shackles. 2 Chronicles 36, and that's when Daniel was carried away. Daniel 1, 1 through 6. And then in 597, a few years later, the second deportation to Babylon, Jehoiachin was taken captive. And then 593, the glory of God departs from Israel. Temple, Ezekiel saw it. 586, what happened? That's when Israel's temple in Jerusalem were destroyed by Babylon. The last seed of David to sit on the throne, Zedekiah, taken captive to Babylon, dies there. 573, Tyre on the mainland falls to Nebuchadnezzar after a 13-year siege that began in 586. And up over in India, Siddhartha Gautama, Buddha, was alive somewhere around in that time. Then in 562, Nebuchadnezzar died. His son, Evil Merodach reigned. And then 555, Nabonidus of Babylon reigns with his son Belshazzar. Daniel's still up there because it's Belshazzar that God wrote on the wall and pronounced his doom. And he was the last king of Babylon. The Persians took over. In 551, things were going on up in China. Confucius and Laozi, the founder of Taoism in China. 539, Cyrus conquers Babylon. Daniel was exalted as president over the 120 princes. That he was the head of the three presidents over the 120 princes. He's right under the emperor, Daniel, right until he dies. 538, Cyrus edict to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. 536, Zerubbabel conducts the remnant to Jerusalem. Daniel's still alive. 535, foundation of the new temple laid, and that's the year that Daniel died. Or at least that's the last date in Daniel, the third year of Cyrus. And so Daniel lived through all of that. His importance, it's just almost beyond words how important Daniel is, the prophecies. It gives us an overview of God's program for Israel from Daniel's day till the second coming of Christ. And it is absolutely necessary. Understanding Daniel is absolutely necessary to understand New Testament prophecy. Can't understand Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians 2, or the book of Revelation without understanding Daniel. The better we understand Daniel, the better we can understand all of those things. Daniel's prophecies are the key to understanding human history over the past 2,500 years. I really love this. I love history. But without the Bible, you don't understand history properly. You don't have the key. But Daniel's fundamental as part of the key to history. It's amazing the light we have here. Daniel 2 teaches us that the Roman Empire holds a central role in the events of the end times. Roman Empire. The empire is depicted by the legs of iron. It continues until the time of the Antichrist in the form of the feet and the toes, part iron, part clay. We know that Roman Empire continues because that image is stricken on those feet and collapses and is destroyed. And that's all wrong. The legs on down. The Roman Empire united Europe, created the European culture that exists today. The Antichrist will rise out of Western Europe. He's the prince of the people who destroyed Jerusalem. Daniel 9:26, no doubt about it. European. And so the times of the Gentiles, that's what Daniel describes. The times of the Gentiles is mentioned in Luke 21:24. And that is the time in which Israel is under the control or dramatic, strong influence of Gentile nations. And ever since, Israel, of the destruction by Babylon, that's been Israel's case. Even at times, Israel had a little bit of control, like in the Maccabees. After the Maccabees defeated the Syrians, they had a little time of pretty much control of their own nation. Didn't last too long. But then the Romans came, and the Romans dominated them. And that's the way Israel's been. And even today, the state of Israel has to kowtow to Europe and America and stuff. Very often. And even when they make their own decisions about military things, they always have to weigh, you know, what's America going to think? What, all this stuff. Gentile influence and control. The times of the Gentiles. And so this revelation is given in six great prophecies. The prophecy of the great image shown to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 2. The prophecy of the four beasts, Daniel 7. Prophecy of the ram and goat, Daniel 8. Prophecy of the 70 weeks, Daniel 9. And then the prophecy of Antiochus Epiphanes of the Greek Syria, that one of those empires that was resulted from Alexander's death. And then the prophecy of the Antichrist, the last part of Daniel. And we have the times, full times of the Gentiles described in those great prophecies. Daniel's prophecies are for the latter days, time of the end, mentioned multiple times in Daniel, for the time of the end. Well, that's for us. This is for us. Especially for us. And I think it's very interesting that for most of church history, these prophecies weren't very well understood. They're understood very well in our day. And so, thy people, we have to understand that Daniel's prophecies pertain to Israel, not the church, Israel. Not any church or the church, Israel, thy people, eight times. And that refers to Daniel's people, which is Israel. The holy people, the saints that are mentioned in Daniel are not Christians. They are the people of Israel. Very important to understand that. Well, they're saints. Yes, they're saints. They're saved people in Israel. They're saved people in the church. They'll be saved people in the tribulation. But they're not the same group of people. So we have to understand. It's a fundamental thing to understand that the difference between Israel and the church. Very important. Absolutely essential. The church is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament. Ephesians 3, 4 through 6. Was not revealed in the Old Testament. And so we don't see the church in the Old Testament. We want to think for a minute about the liberal attack upon Daniel. This book has been assaulted viciously. And obviously, it's because of the prophecies that are there. The precise prophecies. The messianic prophecies. And so this thing has been attacked by the devil. Liberal theologians claim that Daniel was not written during the Babylonian exile by a historical Daniel. They say no. It was written long after it in the time of the Maccabees, they say, which is only 150, 200 years before Christ. Because, why do they say that? Because it describes the events after Daniel. Yes, it's prophecy. Oh, yeah, but we don't believe in prophecy, so it has to be something else. And so, great satanic attack upon this book. Fierce, unending, growing all the time. We refute it. It's not difficult. First of all, the biblical Daniel is attested by the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel describes Daniel by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke of Daniel the prophet and the Lord's apostles. Daniel the prophet. Christ taught that Daniel was a real man. Jesus did. That spoke of the future. That's all that a Bible believer needs. If I believe that Jesus is the Son of God that rose from the dead, well, then obviously I'm going to believe everything he says. And there's nobody alive today that knows anything about those things. It's thousands of years ago. But Christ is the Son of God, and his testimony settles it for a Bible believer. Amen. Second, though, to argue that Daniel was written in the time of the Maccabees, and we need to know our history, and we studied that previously in the Old Testament studies in mastering the English Bible and how that the Maccabees came to power. The time of Antiochus Epiphanes. God claimed to be God manifest. And so they say, well, that's when it was written. And the Maccabees, they wrote that to encourage the Jews of that day that about something or other. But it would be a big lie. It claims to be the prophecy of Daniel. And so if the Maccabees made this thing up, even for some good cause, well, then it's still a bunch of lies. It's nonsense. But not only that, the 70-year prophecy, 70-week prophecy, and the 70-week prophecy gives the exact time of the coming of Christ and his cutting off, crucifixion, the exact time. So Daniel's looking way beyond the Maccabees. So that helps nothing. If you think that it was written in the Maccabees, it's still supernatural prophecy. But it wasn't. It was written by Daniel in Daniel's day. We know all about Daniel in his day. Thankfully, most people don't understand these things. Do you know that? It's very, very precious truth that we are handling. And to believe it, it's amazing. And so the Maccabees. But the Maccabees, if we know anything about the Maccabees and how zealous they were for the scripture and truth, they were. The Maccabees, they were willing to die. They would not have dreamed of tampering with the word of God. Not dreamed. It's all nonsense. But we have to spend a few minutes with it. And there are good refutations, more extensive, of the liberal view of Daniel in Merrill Unger's commentary on the Old Testament, and also Gleason Archer's survey of the Old Testament introduction. Good refutations of these liberal things. And an introduction to the Old Testament by Edward Young. It's important to understand where to get your hands on these things when they come up. We're very isolated. You are very isolated, and Klatsk and I. But the internet's right there. And lots of people have gotten confused on the internet. God's greatness. Major theme. What's the theme? God's greatness. God's greatness. Lots of themes, but that's the main one. Yeah, that's the main one. God revealed as the one who's in control of history. The author of history. God. His omniscience. His omnipotence. His foreknowledge. His determinative will. Whatever he wills, will happen. We see the testimony of Daniel to God's greatness. This magnificent passage, Daniel 2, 20 through 23. And here, in the context of Daniel answering or interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we have this great truth here. Because Nebuchadnezzar sees the entire range of human history from his day to the coming of Christ. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know and didn't understand what he was seeing. And Daniel comes to interpret it. But in that context, he said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." How you know that, Daniel? He was a prophet. "And he changeth the times and the seasons." Times and the seasons. I think there was a very subtle, maybe not so subtle, changing of the times recently in COVID. It's like things just kind of notched forward a little bit. He changeth the time. But God's in control of those things. Don't get all caught up with COVID and stuff. All the stuff going on in regard to COVID. No, he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. There, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Governments. Who's in control? God is. We need to think right. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. These political conservatives don't understand these things. The Mark Levins, the whoever's. They don't understand these things, not a clue. They see a lot of things that are wrong. They even see some of the reasons why, but they don't know any fundamental reasons why. They know nothing spiritually beyond what they can actually see. We can see beyond our eyes. And we see what is actually happening. God is in control of these things. And times, kings. Yeah, that's a great prophecy. But it goes on. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. As Daniel gets ready to interpret that prophecy, this is the revelation he gives that God wants us to understand about these things. Very important. I've had a lot of friends that just really, really got discouraged in the last couple, 3 years. Just discouraged. There's no sense in that. Sin. It's sin. Not looking at things biblically. Got your eyes on the wrong things. Yeah, we should know what's going on, basically, to what degree we need to, but we can't change anything. You can't change a thing. You can choose not to get a vaccine. You could do some simple things like that if you choose to, but not going to change anything significant. Not a thing. So why worry about it? God's in control of these things. We have business to do. God's given us business to do. That's what we need to do. And that will keep you encouraged. I am very encouraged man. I know what's going on just about as well as most people. More than most people, but extremely encouraged. Because my eyes are here in the Bible. The business of God, the churches. Somebody said, well, you need to go on a campaign and preach to America these things. That would be a waste of time if I even could do such a thing. No, it's churches. It's individual churches that we can change and that will make a change, if anything will. And whether it will or not, that's really beside the question. God's business, families. Yeah, that's what I'm focused on. And that's what Daniel is teaching us. God is eternal. God is a possessor of wisdom. God is a possessor of might. He's the source of all power. God is in control of human history. So many other passages teach us that. God, he is not an impersonal pantheism or some force. God, personal God in charge of human history. God is in control of so-called natural history. There is no such thing as natural history. There are natural history museums, but they're wrongly titled. It's God's history. God's in control. God didn't just form the world. He is in control of the world. And then we have the testimony of Daniel to God's greatness as the theme of the book, the theme of the book. And then the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar to God's greatness. Ah, Nebuchadnezzar. One of the most powerful kings that's ever lived. Daniel 4, 34 through 37. I believe the man got saved. In Daniel 34, here's Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Yeah, thank you, Nebuchadnezzar. Finally got it right. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Oh, it wasn't but a few days ago, well, a few years ago, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the king of the mountain. Now he realizes he's just nothing. He doeth according to his will. He, God, in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar was a warrior. Certainly was. He conquered Israel. He conquered Tyre. He conquered lots of things. Defeated the Egyptians. But he said, nah, God, there's an army in heaven, and he does his will among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None. Well, there, Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. And then we have the testimony of Darius. Daniel had a great influence. I think two great kings were saved because of Daniel. We have it written here. Daniel 6, 25 through 27. God greatly blessed this man who made great, very good choices when he was young. Choices for God. Daniel 6, 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. So this was written in multiple languages, all the languages of the Persian Empire. All the people that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. That's good news from the king. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. The God of Daniel. That's who they knew him as. This is the king of the Persian Empire. For he's the living God. He's the living God. Steadfast forever. He's eternal. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Darius' testimony. And then finally in Daniel 11:12, we have the testimony of the angel to God's greatness. Nine times that angel says that the events recorded in Scripture are determined and appointed. Nothing can stop them. So the elect angels understand God's sovereign power. And they submit to it. And so the theme, Daniel, God's greatness. Magnificent theme. Main theme of the Bible. And so we have the outline. Not in your textbook, but we've added the outline. Added it from Believer's Bible Commentary. I don't think you can improve upon it. Now, Daniel's life in Babylon is where we start, in Daniel 1. His life in Babylon. As we've already said, he was among the princes of Judah, taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, 602 BC, 16 years before the destruction of the temple. So Daniel was up there. He was in training. We see Daniel's physical and intellectual perfection in Daniel 1, 4 through 7. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And so that was Daniel and his friends, special young men, special, chosen by Ashpenaz, master of the eunuchs. Master of the eunuchs? What was Daniel? He was a eunuch. And so, And that's what Isaiah had prophesied, Isaiah 39, 5 through 7, that the king's sons would be made eunuchs, Babylon. And Hezekiah said, well, that's good. At least it won't happen in my day. We looked at that. Very strange concept. Daniel had no blemish, was well favored, Daniel 1:4. So no physical imperfection. Daniel was skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Very brilliant. Very brilliant. These Babylonians, the scientists among the Babylonians, they were brilliant. And he was being in training to be among them. He actually rose over them. Daniel's education. He entered a three-year intensive program in the Babylonian language and learning. Two languages were used in that. Akkadian, which was the international trade language of Mesopotamia. And they found thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of clay tablets written in the Akkadian language. And they've learned how to read it many years ago. And they're constantly translating new tablets, learning new things. Massive amount of historical information is just continually to come out of those tablets. Thousands of them in the British Museum, and most of them probably have not been translated. They continue to do that. And then the Syriac language, Aramaic or Syriac, in that day, Syriac was gradually replacing the Akkadian language. And the Akkadian language goes back to the city mentioned in Genesis 10, Akkad. Akkad, in connection with his founding of Babylon, Nineveh, Akkad, major, major city all the way from the time of Tower of Babel, Nimrod. But that language gets its name from that great city mentioned in Genesis 10. Science. He was trained in science. Yes. They're famous for science, those Babylonians. They're building the 11-mile wall around Babylon, double wall, the causeway on top, large enough for 2 4-horse chariots to pass. On top of the wall, the Tower of Babel, the hanging gardens, the canals that ran through the city, the massive irrigation projects. They were great builders. They understood the precise movement of the planets. They made tablets that have been found describing the precise movements and predicting ahead what will be, you know, where planets would be. And they measured the year into 12 months and 7-day weeks. They invented the sundial for measuring time. They had an advanced number system that was based on 60, a 60-base number. Ours is 10-base. 60-base has some advantages. They divided the circle into 360 degrees. They divided the day into 24 hours, 60-minute hours, 60-second minute, 60-base. That's all Babylonian stuff. We still use it today. Goes back to earlier than the time of Daniel. They understood fractions, multiplication, division, geometry, algebra, trigonometry, quadratic equations, cubic equations, square roots, all kinds of things. This new research that is being done even in our day with the constant translation of these tablets and learning more information, there's a tablet called Plimptum 322. They've found that these ancient Babylonians were skilled in trigonometry, skilled in it, and ratios of trigonometric ratios, triangles. And they found a tablet They called it Plimpton 322. I guess it's after the man that found it, probably. But it's recently been studied. It was found a long time ago, at the beginning of the 20th century, but it's recently been studied. Plimpton 322. We're talking about what Daniel learned. Plimpton 322, broken clay tablet from the area of Babylon. And precise Babylonian trigonometry. Their trigonometry is exact, whereas we are accustomed to approximate trigonometry. The Babylonian approach is much simpler because it only uses exact ratios. There are no irrational numbers, no angles. And anyway, this report is explaining about what they've learned just from this one tablet of the genius of the Babylonian science so long ago. And it was found to be a highly complex trigonometric table that has clear advantages over our own. And they were advanced in some ways beyond modern science. And the Babylonians. And so that's what Daniel was studying, this kind of stuff. We only know a little bit about it. But what we know is amazing, what the genius that they had. Of course, they were all full of idolatry and astronomy and all that stuff, astrology. Plimpton 322. Oh, no, it dates to about 18... Yes, Plimpton 322, it dates to about 1800 B.C., and that's about the time of Abraham's death. So this brilliant science of the Babylonians goes back at least 1,000 years before Daniel, as that one tablet explains to us. Stop there, this segment.